Welcome to the Andrea Engstrom Show. I'm passionate about helping you break through to your next level of abundance, success, and freedom so that you can create the life you desire and inspire others to do the same. I'm your host, Andrea Engstrom, and on today's show, we're going to talk about taking a leap of faith to do something totally different in your life. And I'm so excited about my guest today. We've talked about having her for a long time on the show. Angie Smith, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Thank you. Well, after a long, successful career in tech, Angie decided to leave her W-2 job in 2023 after becoming burned out and become a passionate advocate for women pursuing their dreams and taking bold steps towards their future. This is why I love you. We're so on the same page. Love it. Love it. But with a firm belief that every woman has the power to transform her life, she dedicates her work to coaching women on following their passions and taking leaps of faith. So last year, Angie took her own leap of faith by buying a house in Tuscany, Italy. This decision not only changed her life, but reinforced her commitment to inspiring others to embrace their dreams and live authentically. Oh, I feel like you are the queen of doing the thing on the bucket list, Angie.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, tell us where you're joining us from today. Where are you at today?
So I am currently in Fort Worth, Texas at my sister's house after spending the last 90 days in Italy. Had to come back for the summer for a little bit, and that's where I'm at.
Awesome. And tell us exactly where is your home in Italy? Because Tuscany is kind of a, you know, if we're not familiar with the area, that's like the location on the bucket list, but you're in a particular area there. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I bought my house in a little town called Loro Ciafina. And it's, if you're familiar with where Italy is or some of the bigger cities, it's in between Florence and Arezzo. So I'm about 45 minutes outside of Florence.
Okay. Awesome. And, okay. How in the world did you decide to buy a home there? Do you have family in Italy? Like, how did this happen?
I do not have family there. It was kind of it's been a long journey. So I have wanted to have a place there and, have been looking for a house for years. Gosh, it goes back to prior to 2010. So it's been a long time, been a long journey. But it just came about that a house came up for sale and I went to go look at it and, you know, just all of the cards aligned, all the stars aligned, the cards fell in place, to be able to make an offer on it. And, yeah, there's quite a story behind that. So I found the house.
Yeah, I'm here for it. So I want to hear the story. And I also want to hear, because people set goals, they have dreams. Some of us, you know, would dare to write something like, I want to buy a house in Italy. Like we might even dare to write that down, but you know, how is it that the cards would fall into place or the stars would align in order to do that? What happened?
Yeah. So, so I'm a big believer. I write down my goals. I create a vision board. I do all the things that I had, had this house in my mind that I wanted to buy in Italy, and had it on a vision board. And long story short, I've got to kind of skinny this down because there's a lot to it. But in January of 2023, I went through kind of like this 21 days of prayer where I did prayer and fasting. And at that time, I had heard very clearly it was time to leave my job. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to do that and, you know, walk away from the money, quite honestly. But I just kept hearing something else was out there for me and something else was coming and it was time for me to leave my job. And so I had this house on, you know, like I said, a vision board and decided to, I'll fast forward to March of 2023. I left my job without a plan B. And I knew very clearly when I left my job that I would just have to figure things out as I went. And so I was going to really focus on real estate investing. As you know, it's how you and I are connected. And that was going to be my plan. And this house, just a few weeks later after I left my job, this house came up in my email to an email list that I had been subscribed to for years. And quite honestly, I think when I opened it, I had 600 emails that I had not even read from them. That's, you know.
Oh my goodness.
Just, yeah. Just kind of out there in a folder. And I was like, oh, I haven't opened this in a while. And the subject line was, have you ever dreamed of owning a home in Tuscany? And I'm like, yes, I have. That's me. So I clicked on it and reached out to the real estate agent and did a video walkthrough and kind of went through that process. And I just knew, it's like, I think you've kind of referred this to like a knowing that you have.
Yeah.
I knew it was time for me to put all my chips in and just trust God. And I made an offer on the house. It was accepted. I put my house up for sale in Fort Worth and packed all my stuff up in storage and made the move over there.
Oh, that's incredible. So that's that, I mean, that's truly stars aligning and, or the direct, I mean, having divine direction, like when there's, you know, and I think that sometimes there are things that are in our, like you've had those emails coming to your inbox from that person, you had ignored them for years and then, or months or whatever. And then when we are ready, we start to pay attention to the things that are for us. And yeah. So most people, when they quit their job, is not the time they're that they say, and let me buy a new house. Like, so, okay. Can you tell us how that worked where you had to sell a house, but, did you have equity or like what happened with that?
Yes. So, so the story even around that is just, again, talking about stars aligning. So I knew what the price was for this house and I put the offer in. When it was accepted, I was like, okay, I have left my job. How in the world am I going to buy this house now? Because I've put the down payment down and there's no backing out of it. And I could lose my down payment if I didn't go through to close. So when I'm putting my house up for sale, I knew I had enough equity in it, or thought I did at the time, that I would make enough on it to kind of cushion, you know, buying the house over there in Italy. And can I tell you that my house sold within $5,000 of paying for my house in full? I actually had an extra $5,000. So it literally paid for my house in Italy in cash. And even the timing of all of that was really amazing, because I put my house up for sale and I mean, it was down to, I needed this to close in 30 days. I needed certain things to line up. I needed to have the closing happen at a certain time to be able to get the cash to pay for the seller in Italy. And every single step from what I made on my house to when it closed, to the buyer, to all of that lined up like clockwork. It was amazing.
Wow. Which is like, okay, so that's the confirmation that you're moving in the right direction, is when everything starts to line up and work out. How do you get to a place where you are fearless enough to actually make that offer and to make the down payment? How do you get to a place where you just know? Was there something else that aligned before that? Or how did you have that? You said that you did like a 21 days of prayer and fasting. I mean, like what happened in your brain and in your spirit during that time that made you feel like now's the time and like to take action when you saw the opportunity?
You know, it's really crazy thinking back now during that 21 days. There were so many messages during that time that really just spoke to me. And a lot of it was around just trusting God. And so I like to say that I don't have a, you know, that mindset of not having enough, but, you know, I was a big time saver. I put money back in savings. I was always, you know, waiting for a rainy day, grew up in low rental housing when I was a kid. So I was had that almost a scarcity mindset, even though I wasn't. I had a very good career and all that. But during that 21 days of prayer, it was like, I felt like God was telling me, do you really trust me? And also too, like the money that you have is not yours. That's really what I heard. Like, I remember writing that in my notes, like, would you be okay walking away from that and trusting me instead of putting all the trust in what you're doing, you know? And, And yeah, so that was kind of eye-opening. And yeah. really just to get to that place, it was just this, I felt like, okay, I talk about my faith a lot and I share that with people that ask, but am I really walking the walk and willing to walk away from the money and really trust him? I mean, mm-hmm. There, again, no plan B. And so, yeah, I knew after a lot of prayer, I prayed about it a lot between January and leaving my job in April. And I knew that it was time mm-hmm. for me to do something more and that God had something really, really special waiting for me on the other side, which I'm still walking out now. So.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't know. I mean, God doesn't always give us the whole plan. It's kind of like having a flashlight in a dark forest sometimes, and you can just see the next step. The flashlight just shows you the next step ahead of you. 100%. You know, and yeah. And what's funny is I think that if we had all of the steps laid out, for some of us, that would scare us even more than taking a step of faith yes. where we could only see the next step to take. Cause we're like, you want me to do what? And he's like, you're not ready to know all the details. Trust me.
Wow. So that was definitely my case. I mean, it's still like, even now in my quiet time this morning, I'm like, Lord, what is the next thing? And I mean, I feel like I get a little sliver of that, or I get confirmation from the people that surround me. Like, I'll get confirmation on little things and just mm-hmm. Try to be obedient to what I feel like is my next step. So,
yeah. Yeah. And so for you, I mean, obviously we're talking about two different leaps of faith here, quitting your W-2 without a backup plan or without a plan B, because I won't say you don't have a backup plan, because I think you did a good job setting yourself up for that. And I want people listening to this who want to quit their day job to hear that part of your story, is that you were not paycheck to paycheck when you quit your day job. You had piled up some savings. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah. So aside from selling my house and making that, again, I was a big time saver. So mm-hmm. I knew at some point I wanted to do a shift or move abroad or something like that. So I had put back enough money that I knew if I simplified my way of living, I would be able to take up to a year off.
And that's a huge difference between people, you know, somebody who's paycheck to paycheck and just says, I've had it. I'm out. I quit. And then they don't know how they're going to buy groceries for their family next week. And that's a big difference. And I want people to hear that well, but also that to hear it well, that you can make a decision that to change your life and start taking action to prepare for the moment to where you actually are ready to, it's not like you woke up one day and said, I'm out of here. You had been dreaming about a different life and getting your financial house in order. And that's, I think, a key part of it. And you were willing to change your lifestyle in order to make that happen. Because I think for some of us, if we look at our current lifestyle with our W-2 job, we spend money on things that we would not have to if we were to quit that job, whether it's the clothes we wear to work or the commute expenses, the childcare expenses, the, you know, eating out because we're too busy to cook and we're exhausted from our day job, you know? And so if you really are able to think about your life, like, what would my life look like? And you called it skinny up that budget. How, you know, what would it take for you to save up enough to be able to take some time to figure it out if you don't already have a plan in place? And to be, I think it's also about preparing yourself to be ready to listen to the voice of God to give you direction. Because if we're, you know, if we're just frantically doing life every day and not preparing or not, you know, not putting anything in the storehouse to get ready for whatever is next, that, you know, it's much harder for us to be able to make a decision or to be available. I think that's part of it, is you made yourself available to listen to a calling the way that you did. Yeah. What are some fears that you had to overcome to take that leap of faith? I want to say first to take the leap of faith of quitting your day job, but then to take a leap of faith to buy a house overseas and move into it.
You know, gosh, there's so, I mean, there was a lot of fear. So there was, you know, leaving my job, and just going on my savings was that alone was just a very scary step. I'm a single person, so I don't have, I didn't have a husband or another income to, rely on. Mm-hmm. So that was scary. And I don't know that this is necessarily a fear, but, I did have to, I did things like, I sold my car and I don't know what the word would be, but just having to sell my BMW that I loved. I sold that. I sold my house. I did, sold all furniture, to put myself in a place to try to be able to take this time off and figure out what the next step was. But it was scary to buy a house over there and not know the language. I have no family over there. I was like, okay, I don't have a visa. I got to figure out, I'm going to be going over there, staying for 90 days and then coming back. Well, I don't have a house anymore here. So what am I going to do? Is my sister going to get tired of me until I figure out that piece of the story? So, and then too, I have to say, there was moments in my mind that I even was like, what are people going to think about this? This is such a crazy move. And that was like a weird fear of like, what are other people going to think about me doing something like this? And is my family going to understand? Is it going to make sense? And at the end of the day, I just was like, I feel like the Lord has brought this to me somehow. It's asking me to make this big leap of faith. And I just have to do it regardless of what other people think. Yeah. And I can't think about the financial piece of it necessarily, because I had enough belief in myself. Like I know I'm a good employee. I know how to hustle. I know how to do those things. And I'm like, I can figure out how to make this work. But it's very scary at the same time.
Yeah. When we do things that other people are not willing to do, we get to do things that other people don't get to do.
Yes.
And so you've set yourself up in such a way that you could make that change, and you were, you created freedom for yourself. But I love that you said, and I sold my BMW that I love, and I sold my home, and I I hope my sister doesn't get sick of me, but I'm living with my sister. And that's stuff that some people are like, well, I could never do that because I can't afford it. But you're like, yeah, but could you sell your car? Could you move in with a family member when you're, when for a little while you figure stuff out? Or could you, would you sell your house? Like, what is it that you're willing to sacrifice in order to have the life that you dream of? What is it that you're willing? And I think that sometimes we worry so much about what other people think of us that we put off the dreams that we have for ourselves. And if we only knew how little other people think of us to begin with, like we think everybody's sitting at home thinking about us and worrying about what our business and what are we doing. And nobody's thinking anything. Like we're, and it's so funny. I heard somebody say this the other day that when we are expecting others to judge us or to think negatively of us, that we're actually thinking poorly of them. That's actually us judging them, that they're going to have negative thoughts about us. And we're like, and I'm like, well, yeah. Like if I'm expecting the worst of someone else, is that who I want to be? That I'm expecting them to think poorly of me and to like spend time judging me. Like that's not kind of me to think that of them. So get over it, right? Like let it go and do the thing you want to do.
True.
Yeah. Well, tell me what has life been like since you made those decisions? Like what's the daily life or, how are you doing since that decision?
I will tell you, it's been a roller coaster. So anybody that's followed any of my social media pages, I'm like up here one day and then I have challenges. But I'll tell you, the first few months was probably the most just getting so outside my comfort zone because I had a comfortable house. I knew I was doing well in my job. So that's all I knew was that. And so to go to a new country, try to figure out how to get electricity and all that kind of, you know, power and gas and all that hooked up, not speak the language, not have a structured day like I had before in my W-2 and just trying to figure all that out. It was very much emotional. I'd be on cloud nine, sitting on my terrace, looking at the amazing view I have one day. And then I would have a meltdown the next day because my couch was left on the side of the road and I didn't know what to do about it. So it was definitely a journey. But today I can say it's been almost a year since I sold my house. And this past year has been one of the best years of my life, even though so much has changed. I'll get emotional talking about it. I'm so grateful I did it. And even though I don't know how it's going to turn out, I don't know what the future is. Like, it has been such a growing year for me in a lot of ways that I would, if I had it to do it all over again, I would 110%, like I would do it all over again, even knowing what I had to go through on some of those days. It's been really, really good.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. Let's talk about the actual nuts and bolts of buying a property overseas. And so we can talk about Italy specifically. I know there's a lot of women listening to this podcast right now that are going to say, that is on my list. I want to buy a home in a second home, or I want to move there, whatever it is, but I want to buy a house in Italy. What was the hardest part? Like, what was some of the challenges that you faced in that are unique to buying property? Cause we all buy property here in the United States, but what is different about it? What was harder or just different?
So there was a few things like, you know, obviously I bought an older stone house. And so there's some things that you have to go and work through with they call them, and I'm going to butcher this, but like a geometra. In mm-hmm. Italy. And so think of it in the US like an inspection. So it's somebody that comes to make sure that your property is in good standing, but they also do, it's a very high profile kind of position in Italy, but they do surveys of your house. They do a lot of research to make sure that the property has not been wanting to be kept by somebody else in the family line. So they had to go through that process to make sure that whoever owned that before, nobody else in the family wanted it before I bought it. The land that's attached to my house, I had to go through this process where the Italians that live there in the surrounding properties, because I've got a property that has a lot of olive trees and fruit trees and stuff like that on it, they actually had the right to buy that property first before they sold it to me. That was something that was new to me. And basically what they did is they wrote a letter, went around to all the neighbors and said, hey, someone's interested in buying this house. There's property attached. Would you be interested in buying it for X amount of money? We wait 10 days or whatever the time frame was. No one wanted to buy it. And so then it was offered up to me to be attached with my house. So that was different.
Yeah.
You work really closely with a notary instead of a title company over there. So that was a fabulous experience for me. The guy that I worked with was amazing. And I had to work with a translator. But those are probably the biggest things. And you don't have comps. That was another thing. Like, there's not really a comp kind of system over there to see, like, hey, am I getting a good price on this house? I just did a little bit of research on my own and looked at the properties and made the best educated guess I could on it. Mm-hmm. But that was something that was a little bit different too.
Got it. So, and are you learning Italian?
Piano, little by little. My neighbor told me that. So, they told me I have to come back in the fall and be able to have a conversation with them without Google Translate.
It's good. I mean, there's so many tools. I think, you know, we get nervous about having language barriers, but there's so many tools that are helpful now, especially with AI, to be able to you know, make sure that you can communicate. When I was a kid, my family adopted a little girl from Guatemala, and she was 11 years old and I was 12 years old, and she did not speak a lick of English. And we had one of those little pocket translators that, where you type in a word and then it tells you how to say it in Spanish. And so she and I shared a room, and we kind of taught each other English and Spanish and just made it work. But I think sometimes we're so afraid to take a leap of faith, especially something involving a foreign country, because we're like, but I don't speak the language, which I'm pretty sure there's a scripture where where Moses or somebody was like, but God, I don't speak the language, you know, what am I going to say? Yeah. But yeah. I think there's such blessing on the other side of being willing to learn new things the way that you have, and also just trusting that the right connections will be there. And so for you, like when you're in Italy, cause you live part of the year there because of the visa situation. And that's something that not everybody understands too, right? Like you can't just decide to go live in a foreign country. There's a process for that, right?
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So there's definitely a lot of people when I bought my house, they're like, oh, aren't you just a resident there? And I'm like, no, you don't. It doesn't give you that right to live over there full time. There's a process, just like most countries, to become a citizen or resident and whatever. So the process for me right now is you can buy property over there as an American. I did not know this. One of those lessons I would have known beforehand is you can buy a house there, but you cannot buy a vehicle unless you're a resident.
What? That's so crazy.
Yeah. So, that's a big thing, because for me, I have to rent a car over there now. I can get a vehicle when I become a resident, but the process, I have to go through the visa process and stay there for 12 months at a time and then be there for 5 years. So it's definitely going to be, a process, but, I think there's just a lot of, you know, little things like that you have to be aware of before you make a property purchase. But the visa process for me is 90 days in right now on a tourist visa, which is really not a visa. I just stay over there for 90 days and then come back over here. And I'm in the process of trying to get a kind of like a self-employment visa. And I'm looking into another one that kind of like a digital nomad type visa that they just released here a couple months ago. So I'm trying to see which is going to be the easiest route for me to take with the least amount of documentation to be able to go over there and stay full time.
Yeah, I love it. Well, there are so many things to learn, and that's part of the leap of faith, I think, is that when you don't have all the answers and you don't know all the things yet, to be willing to show up and do the next right thing and learn. And when we learn better, we do better, and figuring it out as we go. But you're in a position now where you've done the thing, you're taking bold action, and you're inspiring others to do the same. So people reach out to you all the time, right? About how to do this thing. What are some of the things that you are doing to help other women to take a leap of faith? What's going on in your business now too?
Oh, so much goodness. There's been so many great things that have come out of this. So, one of the things that I'm most excited about is I've started doing women's retreats, because that was, again, just something that was downloaded to me. I had a vision of it specifically in Italy, having women around a table doing life together and just like-minded women that feel stuck, and helping people get unstuck. Like, God has more for your life, and I want to help women do that. So figure out what that is for them. So the retreats has been a big one. I also have, I just launched a summer series where I'm doing a Q&A live once a week with people that want to, you know, hear from an expert on what's it like to buy a house there. What's the tax, you know, how do taxes work over there? You know, I've got guest speakers that are going to help women that want to travel solo that are over 50, like not be afraid to do that. It's a safe place to travel to. There's amazing place, and you love the culture and people. So she's going to come on and talk about how she does it and talk about some of the tours that she does. yeah, just coaching. There's been a lot of things have come out of it. And so, yeah, I just want to help people bring whatever dream it is. Maybe it's not buying a house in Italy, but just stop living in fear and putting off the dreams that you know, like, you know what you are being called to do or what you're drawn to, and just do it. You just have to do it. Take a step.
So good. One of the most repeated phrases in scripture is do not be afraid. Yes. Do not be afraid. I think it appears 365 times in scripture. Yeah. And that's, I love what you're doing to encourage other women. One of the most powerful things in the world, I think, is when we see another woman that's taking bold action and we can say, if she can do it, I can do it. But you're not only inspiring others, but you're actually guiding them along the way. So I'm such a fan of what you're doing, Angie. And I'm so grateful because, Angie, you're helping me to plan my retreat with my mastermind group. We're going to be coming out there and we're going to get to see your place and sit around a table together. And I know you've got some retreats coming up. If someone wants to know more about how to connect with you, how to learn more, can they come on a retreat with you? Like, how does this work? Yeah. Where can they find you?
Yeah. So the best place to contact me or see more information about that is on my website, which is www.oliveandpinehomesolutions.com. Kind of long, trying to shorten it, but yeah, oliveandpinehomesolutions.com.
Okay.
So there's information there about the retreats, about if you want to join the live Q&A summer series sessions to find out more about buying a place in Italy or traveling there. All the stuff is there. So that's probably the best place to contact me.
All right. oliveandpinehomesolutions.com. I'm going to have that in the show notes for everyone. And your Instagram or your, I know I follow you on TikTok and it's Texas to Tuscany, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Texas to Tuscany. I love it. I love it. Well, Angie, we always like to leave our listeners with a challenge. What is something that you would challenge our listeners to do to take bold action this week?
So I would say if there's something that you feel like you're called to do or that you're dreaming about, find the person that has done it. Like, try to do the research. I mean, maybe it's and you'd be surprised. There's people on Instagram that I've reached out that have bought houses in Italy that I've connected with, that I'm friends with now. It's crazy. We're talking about doing aperitivo when I get back in the fall that I met on Instagram. So reach out to someone that has done it, that's got the experience, that can give you some guidance on whatever it is that you want to do, because the more you can gather from somebody that's done it and had the experience, it's so valuable to help you make a decision and make you feel more confident in doing it, just taking the step, right? So
yeah,
that would be my thing.
I love it. All right. So take action by finding someone who's already gone before you that you can learn from. That's super powerful. Yes. I think that's wise advice. So that's a great challenge. All right. Well, Angie, I appreciate you so much being on with me today. I'm so inspired by what you're doing. I love following your journey. And I will tell you all, like, Angie's in my mastermind group and she shared her story and more of the behind the scenes stuff. Angie is a very gifted coach. And so I want to encourage you, if you're listening and what she's sharing is resonating with you. She was one of my most powerful speakers that I've had in my group. And I'm so honored to have you as part of our group. And I think you're doing work that matters and that is going to inspire so many women to take their own leap of faith.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm inspired by you and the amazing women that I've gotten connected with through your group. So I would suggest if anybody is not in your mastermind group or part of Bold Women, you need to be, because they are so supportive and encouraging to each other. It's been such a gift for me these last few months to be connected to them and to you. So thank you.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. All right, sisters, if you're listening and something on the show resonated with you today, would you let me know by giving me a review? You can drop me a line at andreaengstrom.com. And while you're there, grab a ticket for my next workshop. And if you're a woman entrepreneur, join my Facebook group, Bold Women in Business Sisterhood, where we share strategies for clarity, confidence, and how to make powerful connections so that you can build the business and the life that you love. So till next time, I'm Andrea Engstrom, encouraging you to take action on your dreams. You are the one who makes your dreams come true. So show up to your life with power and authenticity. Be bold, be tenacious, and make it happen.